Follow as we look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. As I mentioned, the couples retreat is a great blessing, and I didn't really fully know what to expect, but it was far greater than what I anticipated, and just such a great time of relaxation and time around the Word of God. And let me encourage you, if you're able to next year, plan to be there for that, and hopefully we can get some more information to you than what has been out in the past, so that you can know what to expect and some pictures and stuff like that. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 here yesterday, around our time as couples, we were able to study this passage, and there's so much great truth and necessary information and lessons that we can learn here from this passage that we're going to look at this here tonight. And this is a handout that Pastor came up with, but has a lot of great truths in it, and hope to talk about some of them here tonight. So go ahead and get one of those handouts and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This passage in Deuteronomy comes right after the second giving of the law. In Exodus 20, God had given the law, but God had to re-give it to them out of, if you remember, Moses threw those first tablets against the stone and destroyed them, and they were broken. And God gave it to them again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And chapter 6 comes right after this giving of the law the second time. And this passage has some great truths in it about the Word of God and the influence, the attendant effect the Word of God is supposed to have in our life. And, as believers, this is our guidebook. This is our map. And we need to be in it each day. We need to be studying the Word of God. We need to be learning from the Word of God. And so the Word of God ought to have just a very superior place in our life, in our day. And if we're to meditate on the Word of God, that means the Word of God has to be in us. We have to be in the Word of God. And so it's very important, the Word of God, in our life. And we've kind of gotten our thoughts on that here tonight by singing some songs directed towards on the Word of God. And what a great privilege we have to have the Word of God, to have God's own words in our hands. And we have no excuses today. We have nothing that we can blame God for. He's given everything to us that we need. So before we look at chapter 6, I want us to look at chapter 5 and verse 29. So God had given them the second time in His grace and mercy the law again. And in verse 29, listen to these words. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep my commandments always. And that really is a great setup into chapter 6 there. Really what the intended desired effect of the Word of God is supposed to have in our life, and the influence that we ought to allow it to have in our lives. So let's look at chapter 6 and read to start here verses 1 through 5. The Word of God says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised to thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." What was the purpose of the commandments of the Lord? What was the purpose of the commandments of the Lord? Well, look at verse number 2. It says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. Why did God give them the law? Why did God give them these commandments? Well, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. And that's the first answer there. What was the purpose of the commandments of the Lord? That thou might fear the Lord thy God. See, God had a purpose in giving the law. It wasn't to restrict them, to bring these hard things upon them. No, it was so that they could understand and come to an understanding and knowledge of the fear of God and a knowledge of who God is. Okay? So the purpose was that they might fear the Lord their God. What is the fear of the Lord? You know, we may come up with a lot of different answers for that. But in essence, in a nutshell, that the fear of God is a proper understanding of who God is and who I am. A proper understanding of who God is and who I am. Or a true sense of who God is that results in transformation and love for Him. The purpose of the law and the giving of the law was so that the people would come to a realization of who God was. And as a result, it would affect and change their life. Okay? That knowledge of who God was to change their life, to develop a fear of God in them that would transform them. I can't help but think of Isaiah chapter 6. And we were able to discuss this passage a little bit yesterday. There Isaiah caught a vision of the Lord. He saw a vision of the Lord. And he said, "Mine eyes have seen the King." And there he fell down before the Lord in just brokenness over his sin and his unworthiness before the Lord. And that is what the Word of God ought to do in our lives. It ought to develop a fear of Him, a sense of His holiness, a sense of His character, and how shortly we compare and how little we compare to that of who God is. So the purpose of the commandment of the Lord was to develop a fear of the Lord in the people. You know, something is seriously wrong if we can read or hear the Word of God and it not bring a greater sense of the fear of God. You know, if we can come to church week after week, if we can even read the Word of God in the morning, we get up and we do what we're supposed to do, but it does not develop and bring a greater sense of the fear of God, then something's wrong. And it's not the Word of God. There's something wrong in our heart if God's Word is not developing that sense and that fear of who God is. You know, as God's people come to the Lord's house, there ought to be a sense of the fear of God. That sense of the fear of the Lord ought to be increasing. All right, we shouldn't just stay at one level, and which really is impossible. You know, we ought to be growing in that sense of the fear of the Lord. Our lives should be more and more transformed as we know God and as we grow in His Word. You know, we ought to be coming to hear from the Lord. And as we have that sense, you know what? We're going to be hungry to know who God is and to have develop that fear of God in our lives. You know, the results of the commandments of God was that we might fear God. You know, do you fear God tonight? Are you concerned about what He thinks about your life? Are you concerned about how you're living your life? Are we concerned about our if we are truly loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind? Does that concern us here tonight? Or are we more afraid of what man thinks? The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Are you more afraid of what man thinks than what God? Is there more love for self than for God? The Word of God is intended to develop a fear of God in our lives. And is that taking place in our hearts, in our lives? Are we developing that fear? Is there that fear of God being developed in our life as we are in the Word of God? Can we read the Word of God in the morning and not truly be changed, affected by it? It ought not so to be if it does happen that way. So the purpose of the commandments of the Lord was to develop the fear of God in lives. Secondly, what would be the results of fearing the Lord. And these would be some great discussion things that we could have, but we don't have time for that here tonight. But what would be the result of fearing the Lord? Look at verse number 2 in chapter 6. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. So that was the purpose of the giving of the law and the commandments. But what was the result of that? To keep all the statutes, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. The first result we see here is obedience to God's statutes and commandments. As we have a fear of God, as there is a fear of God being developed in our life, it brings obedience to God's statutes and his commandments. It brings obedience to the word of God. We're not just hearers of the word, we're doers of the word as well. And that is really the result of a fear of God. You know, we can't truly have a fear of God and hear his word and do nothing about it. No, the fear of God produces obedience. It produces that love for him that results in us obeying him. All right, so that's the first result of fearing the Lord. The second thing is the length of days, and that thy days may be prolonged. That's the second result of fearing the Lord. It's interesting, with the mega church movement, do we see greater obedience to the word of God in our society? Is there a great increasing obedience and humility to the word of God in our society here today? No. Actually, completely the opposite. And if we are truly hearing from the word of God and hearing from God, it ought to produce that fear of him that produces that obedience to the word of God. You know, there shouldn't be anything in the word of God, a clear command that we hear from the word of God, and we don't do anything about it or think that we're going to be fine by not obeying it. No, everything that God commands us, we need to be obedient to it. And if we have a fear of God in our lives, that's going to be the result. We're going to fear him and as a result, be obedient to him. You know, if our lives aren't being affected and transformed through the word of God, you know, in a sense, we're not any different than those people in all these churches around us. And obviously, many of them are false churches and stuff. But, you know, you'd think if they're truly in the word of God, it would be affecting their lives. And let us not be so ignorant and so such carnal Christians to hear the word of God and not let it affect our lives. Let our lives be transformed by the word of God. And that's what the word of God tells us in other passages that it's supposed to do. Let's look at the third point there. What is the parallel of fearing the Lord? Or the parallel of fearing the Lord is what? Let's look at verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I like that phrase. It's really lifting up who God is. He's number one. He's priority. He's superior. And he is the one true God. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. The parallel of fearing the Lord is loving God with all your being. Loving God with all your being. You know how short we so often come from loving the Lord with all our heart and soul and might. But God desires for us to love him, for our whole being, for everything about us to be consumed with loving him. You know what, tonight, are we just caught up in the love of God and loving him? You know, what's stealing our heart here tonight? Is Christ, is he first place in our heart? Is our love, all our love, given to him tonight? Or is there love given to one thing and a love given to this thing and love given to another aspect in our life, and you know, God only gets a little bit? Or is he is deserving of all our love. Is he getting it? Is he receiving that here tonight? You know, fearing God results in us loving him. And you know what? He's a great God to love. He's blessed us. He's good to us. He gives us so much. And why shouldn't we fear Him? Why shouldn't we love Him with all our being here tonight? Why shouldn't we be willing to sacrifice anything for Him after all that He's done for us? So our whole life, everything about us is to be consumed with loving God. You know, do we desire our relationship with God? Do we desire to have that just a vibrant relationship with Him? Or can we afford to get up in the morning and, you know, not really think about God, maybe get to the newspaper first or check out the latest news happenings? Or are we concerned about in the morning getting up and meeting with God? Does that demonstrate our love for Him and loving Him with all our heart and all our soul and all our might? Number four, describe God's word and the commandments being in your heart. Describe God's word and the commandments being in your heart. Let's look at verses, let's read verses 6 through verse 12 so you can follow along. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So how describe God's word and His commandments be in your heart? First of all, that verse 6 there, and these words, and I will command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. You know, there's a vast difference between outward show and truly an inward work of the Word of God. There's a vast difference between that. And that phrase there, the word, the commandments of God shall be in thine heart. Not merely an outward show, but truly in your heart. And where the Word of God is impacting and influencing your life. So a couple things here. The influence, they influence every part of our life and every moment of our day. That's how God's Word and His commandments being in your heart. That's really what's pictured there in verse 7. Is that the Word of God has an influence over every part of our life. Every moment of our day, the Word of God is in our hearts. It's in our thoughts. We're consumed with who God is and the fear of Him. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Everything we do in life, the Word of God ought to be there. And if it's in our hearts, if His commandments and His laws are in our heart, that's what it's going to be like. Everywhere we go, the Word of God, and everything we do, the Word of God has an influence. You know, for our homes, the Word of God ought to have influence in every aspect. Everything that's done, the Word of God ought to have influence there. And notice there just the importance of passing these truths to your children. We live in a day and age where people say you can't pressure your children. You can't tell them what's right. They need to find it for themselves. Well, not according to this verse. We need to teach them diligently. We need to instruct them in the way. And that influence of the Word of God in every part of our life, every moment of the day. Does the Word of God have that influence in our lives here tonight? You know, did we go today without really thinking about God, without praying, without meditating on some truth about God here today? Another truth here about describing God's Word and His commandments being in your heart. They are easily, I guess I mentioned this a little bit, that they are easily transferred because it is real. You know, when something's real to you, it's easy and natural to talk about it with somebody else. You know, maybe you work in a particular field and it's just easy to strike up a conversation with somebody about that. Or somebody else that works in that field, you can just communicate and talk freely about that matter. Well, if the Word of God is in our hearts, that's what it's going to be like. There's that freedom to talk about the things of God. You know, are you the kind that kind of shun when somebody brings up the things of God? You know, well, hey, we're not in church now, or this isn't Bible time. We don't need to talk about God. No, that ought to be a part of our life, talking about the things of God. And when that's real, when it's in our hearts, you know, it's easy, it's natural for us to communicate about it, to transfer that to somebody else. Think of our daycare. A lot of unsaved homes there. And the opportunity if the Word of God is a part of our life, for it just to freely flow through every aspect of the day down there, through the pressure times, through the fun outdoors time, to express who God is and to talk about Him, that ought to be natural. As we're in the home, as we're with our children, interacting with them, you know, singing about the things of God, meditating on the Word of God, mentioning something, praying, you know, all those things ought to be natural for us as the Word of God takes root in our heart and in our lives. Another truth here about this, a description of God's Word and His commandments being in our heart. We see here the truth that they are internal and not external. I mentioned that here already. God doesn't just want the external. Like in verses 8 and 9, He says, "Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Still today, you'll see Orthodox Jews practicing those kind of things. But God's far wants us to go far past just merely an outward show. He wants it to be a true work of transformation in the heart, a true internal work. And, you know, doing things externally are great things to help the internal. But, you know, if we're merely focused on the outward, the external, then the Word of God truly isn't transforming and changing our life. And the picture there of verse 8 and 9 is that we ought to be doing everything we can, taking every measure in our lives to allow the Word of God to penetrate our heart. You know, memorizing God's Word. Sometimes I've written a verse on a 3x5 card and stick it in your pocket. And throughout the day, you can meditate on that verse. Doing things so that the Word of God becomes an eternal, internal working of the Word of God. All right, so there's a little bit of a description, and many more things could be said about these different truths. But let's move on here quickly. Number 5, what could cause a person to forget the Lord and lose the fear of God? Why don't you write down a few things here, a few different thoughts. But we read that in verse 10 and through 12. Look at the end of verse 10. It says, "To give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Maybe a little picture here that would bring it to practical terms is Brother Griffin has done a lot of work in that orchard over there. And I'm sure many people here have gone over there and have had so many apples from his orchard even this year. And that's kind of, in a sense, the idea here. Mr. Griffin does all the work, but a lot of us get to enjoy all that work he's done. And that picture there is God's doing all these things to the nation of Israel. And he warned them, they were warned that they wouldn't forget the Lord, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Okay, the blessing of God, we can lose the fear of God. We can forget God through his blessings. God pours so much blessing upon us that we lose God, the focus, and forget God through his blessings. We get all caught up in him blessing our lives, that we get focused on those and we lose sight of the blesser, the Lord of God. We are satisfied with God. We are satisfied with what God gives rather than with God. And the people of Israel were warned, don't be satisfied with all these things that I'm going to give you. You need to be satisfied with God. And what blessing of God really, in a sense, is stealing our heart from Him, from seeing Him through it? You know, if we are an independent person, there's no need for God in our life. And the nation of Israel were warned that if they become dependent upon what they have, if they become independent from God and dependent upon what they have, they would very quickly lose sight of God and forget that fear, forget Him. So it's very important for us not to let anything steal that fear of God, steal our heart for Him. And just as we quickly wrap things up here tonight, number six there, what are the results of obedience to God and His words? What are the results? Look at verse number 18 in chapter 6. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. What's one of the results of obedience to God's word? Fulfilling God's plan for your life. Fulfilling God's plan for your life. If the nation of Israel would keep their sight on the Lord, you know what? God would bring them into the land and they would possess the land that God promised to them and they would accomplish the plan that God had for their life. And if we are obedient to God here tonight and His word, you know, we can be confident that we are going to fulfill the plan that God has for our life. And we need to be very careful to be obedient to the word of God, to receive the preaching and the instruction of God's word and apply it to our life. You know what? If we fail, it's not God's fault. It's because we weren't obedient to God's word. We didn't take His commands and seek after them to obey them with all our heart and everything, our whole being. Okay, so we fulfill God's plan for our life. And boy, wouldn't that be a great thing to come to the end of our life and have accomplished what God wanted for our life. Let's not sell God short. Let's not cut Him short and finish our life and not have accomplished what God intended for our lives to accomplish. Verse number 24, it says, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. You see, when we are obedient to God, He preserves the good in our lives and protects us from evil. You know, God was going to be that to the nation of Israel. He was going to preserve them. He was going to protect them. And that's what God does in our lives. He takes care of us. He watches over us. And if we are going to be obedient to God, we can be confident that He will meet our needs, that He will take care of us. And God promised to do that to the nation of Israel if they would simply obey Him. And we don't have time, but in verse 25, the result of obedience to God was, it says there, our righteousness. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He hath commanded us. The lesson here tonight, the point is, let's get into the Word of God. Let's be a student of the Word of God. Let's study and learn and memorize the Word of God. You know, we cannot lose by following and being obedient to the Word of God, can we? If we take God at His Word and we obey His Word, we're not going to lose. God will richly bless us. He'll pour out His grace, His blessing upon our lives. You know, we need to remember that God is good, and He has our best in mind. Here tonight, if you trust in the Word of God, if you're obedient to the Word of God, God's going to give us His best. He's going to bless us in our lives and in our homes. You know, has the Word of God tonight been instilling a holy fear of God in our lives that affects our lives and transforms us? You know, how great is the fear of God in our lives? Young people, do we have a sense of the fear of God? Does that pervade our character? Does that pervade our demeanor throughout the day? You know, a sense of the fear of God and who He is. That ought to transform us. Even as adults, young people, every one of us as believers, our lives should be just greatly influenced by the fear of God and understanding who He is. And as we are in God's Word, it transforming us. You know, when was the last time we made a decision for God? When was the last time we moved forward? You know, it's as a church of the living God, we need the presence of God here. We need there to be a sense of the fear of God in our midst. And as lost people come in, they sense that fear of God. They understand that God is here. His presence is here. And we desperately need that in these days. And if this church is going to be effective, if this church is going to accomplish what God has in store for it, we need that sense of fear of God and obedience to His Word. And I trust that that will be just a simple challenge for us here tonight that can make a difference even right now and tomorrow morning, tonight, getting into the Word of God and truly desiring to know God through His Word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. Oh Lord, may it be more than just words. May it truly change and affect lives. And God, as Your people, may we not be caught up and distracted by the things of this life, that we lose all the blessing and all the glory that You intend to pour upon our lives and use us for. And, Lord, as a church, may there be a sense of Your presence in our midst. And, Lord, as we come, and may we truly worship You, and may there be that fear and that sense of awe and reverence of God. And, Lord, as our lives, as we live our lives from day to day, may we may there be a sense in reverence and fear of God throughout our lives. And Lord, just change us here tonight. We need it. And do a mighty work, Lord. Even as we go to prayer, may there be that sense of Your presence here in our midst here tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.